Yes, this is a message on faith. And sure, we do know what faith is, and we've all heard it. At this rate, somebody else could probably come up here and preach this message. To be honest. You know the scripture? You know what it means? You could probably do my job today. Yet, despite this, we as the Church of Jesus Christ still have an actual faith problem. Do you agree or disagree? What if I were to tell you today that the church is dying? Would you agree? I'm not saying by aging out. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that the church, its significance, its beliefs, its reason for existence is literally fading away. The whole reason why people are here, why gather, right? You have a whole world of digital users, right, who believe that they can interact with all society through a mobile device. I don't need to be here. I can just listen online. That's how I can do church. I can do church that way. It's fine. And so therefore, what happens? People aren't showing up. Therefore, people are not getting actually fed. They're not getting discipled. They're not getting trained, right? Very good. And the church is dying because there's nobody to go and raise up to take the next place of authority. It's very hard to pluck somebody out of a mobile device and say, hey, you're the next pastor. Teach these people that don't know you because they don't know who you are at all because you exist through a screen. The church is dying. More and more people are supposedly stepping away from their faith and more churches are ending their ministries. Now, I'm not even saying that with like disdain or upsetness. It's just facts, right? I know there's even some really big heavy hitters in like worship ministries and stuff that have literally straight up walked away from faith, professing they never believed what they were preaching up there. That's sad. I'm not throwing names, but I'm just saying if you go and figure, you can go find out. It's not hard to find. And ministries are literally shutting their doors. Why? Is this message not clear enough, or is there something that we're missing? And I believe that we are missing something. I believe we are missing something. So we are going to go through this message, but we are going to spend just a little bit more time. I'm not going to be long. But instead of spending the time on the things we already know, I'm going to move a little bit faster past those things, but I'm going to focus on some of the things that maybe you didn't know. So it's just another faith message. Not really. That's the funny part. So Hebrews 1 is right behind me. And we know this. Who wants to read it? Yeah, you don't even need your Bible for it, right? What's it say? Go ahead, Steve. Right. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this is so simple. It is the basis of what we say and profess in everything we believe that is faith-based, right? Your belief in Jesus is based on faith, right? You need to believe. Did anybody run into him today? Did you see him? Is he walking down the street at ShopRite? Did you see him out there? No? So you have to believe, right? Through faith. Okay? So we understand faith is not based on what we see, but what we have hope for, right? That's what this is basically saying. The second part of it is the evidence of what is not seen. Does anybody know what that actually means? Is the evidence of what is not seen. There's one word that summarizes that entire sentence. Take a stab. What's evidence? Proof, right? But it's not there yet. So it's in there, but you can't see it. Sounds vaguely familiar. Sounds something a little bit like, potential? Would you say? potential. That's what this is actually saying. This is potential, right? The basis of all faith is potential. Let's start with the basic level of potential that you've been given, right? You have been given a modicum of faith to start with. What is the reason? So that you can have the potential of becoming a child of God through faith in Christ. That potential exists in every single human being. You were created in that way. So therefore, you have that potential. Do you know, did any of you know you were going to be a believer in Jesus Christ before you became a believer in Jesus Christ? Or was that the furthest thing away from you? But it was in you, was it not? The potential was always there. As much as you might not have seen it, somebody else saw the potential in you. And somebody else prayerfully believed or hoped in that potential to come out of you. Their faith, combined with your faith, brought out that potential. What is potential? Potential means, 1828, go ahead, having power to impress on us the ideas of certain qualities, though the qualities are not inherent in the thing. So there are qualities that are in you that would not normally be inherent in you. But by faith. Where is this going? We cannot see what we can become, though it is indeed present in us, right? And I already stated that everyone has been given this basic level. So, let's go to the second scripture. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We all knew this one too, right? This is, again, not a refresher course. What was faith designed for? To please him. That's it. There is nothing else. You can go ahead and try to find it. Good luck. What does it mean? It means that faith is not self-serving. By faith, we do not hope for the benefits that only matter to me. I cannot go and rest on my faith to believe that I'm going to become a millionaire so I can have a big mansion and live nice and on and off the land. Guess what? Guess what? It's never going to happen. That. Because who's the only benefactor? You. Benefactor. Sorry. Benefactor is not a word. So you cannot tell me by faith this is going to happen because I'm going to be the one who's bettered by it. Can you be included in that part? Sure can. But if you're the only one, sorry kiddo, that's not how faith works. That's not the way you were built. What else is it? It is not hoping in any means to an end. It is not the quickest route. What do I mean by that? That means that if you're hoping for something to happen tomorrow because you need this done today, right? That kind of rapid processing, right? And you think that that's how God's going to work, you can keep rubbing that genie lamp all day long. It ain't going to happen because that's also not faith. That's just well wishing. Simply put, faith is about adding, not subtracting or staying neutral. Everything that is based in faith will always add. It will always upwardly build you towards who? Christ, because that is how you become more pleasing to him. Not just like him, but more pleasing to him. Sure, we want to be like him, but in everything, not, here's the best part, ready? There are things that, believe it or not, many believers believe, I don't know, is that okay? Is God going to be okay with that? Please note, God is well pleased with his creation. He is well pleased within his creation's ability to create. He likes the things that we get to participate in. He's not sitting here shunning everything you do. But let's be clear. Let's stop misappropriating faith. There's a difference. When we're talking about faith, in particular, what God's trying to do with you, not the stuff on the side, there's a big difference. Is there time for you to have both? Sure, you have this whole wonderful life. God gave it to you. Live it to its fullest. Amen? Our words, what does it mean? Love God, love people, love life. You need to love life. Life is important. But don't love life at the expense of loving God first. So we have something more that God is trying to tell us. Here's the bigger picture. In his pleasure is us coming to him in the full understanding of who he is, right? For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And then also that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? In his pleasure is also in his reward. So what does that mean? Well, that means just God loves to pour out blessings upon those who know who he is and come to him in what? In faith. Not just knocking on his door saying, hey, Pop, I need some more money. Handouts, please. Handouts. That he's not interested in. The rewards will follow our faith inasmuch as they increase your faith. What does that mean? I think we have a very, very bad and immature understanding of a reward. You want to know why? We grew up watching stinking Looney Tunes. Because every time you watch Looney Tunes, every cartoon, I can't tell you how many times, whether it was Yosemite Sam, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd, it didn't matter which one it was, there was always a wanted poster with a reward and some money at the bottom. Remember those? You could like literally visualize it right now in your head probably and pick one of those tunes to put on it and you could see it. We have this understanding or misunderstanding of really what a reward is. We tend to think rewards are some sort of benefit. But we don't have this understand, we don't have the correct understanding of what God sees as a reward. What is a reward to God? Do you ever wonder? Think about this. What would he want to give to you as a reward for just coming to him? Do you think it's money for a job well done? Hey, you managed to find out it was duck season and not rabbit season. Here's $5,000. We tend to think what rewards look like. And we have them founded in a very bad sense. We have his rewards, which are what? Begins with an E. Very good. His rewards are eternal, and we take his rewards and we literally trash them down to something that is not eternal. We would prefer to exchange the eternal reward for something that is temporal. That's here and now and only satisfies to work in this world and doesn't carry me upward. Do you see the difference? It's a big deal, right? So, knowing this and also knowing that the rewards he gives will increase his pleasure, which is the pleasure that he finds in his creation, we should know that this is always going to be built around something that is greater than just you and me. It's always going to be bigger than you. Amen? All that was just in two scriptures that you already knew. But did you know all that? We encounter this point in our Christian walk where our faith seems to run dry. Anybody have that problem? I know my worship leader's like, ooh, you have no idea. We believe. This isn't a question about your beliefs, right? It's not. It's not a doubt. It's not that I doubt God or I don't believe in him. What happened? We know God, but for some reason, no matter which direction we tend to go in life, we meet resistance. It's like you're trudging through mud. Am I right? I know I've been there. I know my worship leader's been there, right? You've been there, right? Yes? Dredging through mud? How many of us have been there? What happens here is that this gets really, really badly misunderstood as a trial. You tend to think that when you're in this place, you're going through a trial. And what happens, it's not even punishment. It's just you think I have to go through this thing and that when I get through it, there's going to be something at the end that God's going to teach or train me. There's something at the end that I'm going to get through, right? That whole understanding, because you read about trials and tribulation, right? And you know that he says that he's always carrying us through, right? But it's always for the what? The building of our, perfecting of our faith, the building of our faith. So we know that we can even attribute this dredging and slow process and we go, oh, it's just a trial. Or I love this one. Oh, it's just a season. You hear that one too, right? It's just a season. I believe that this is due to our faith going stale. What did we do wrong? We stopped adding to our faith and growing our faith. The reason this happens is what makes this not just another faith message. We have an issue and we've been misdiagnosing it and mistreating it. We tend to treat the process of increasing our faith and growing our faith as a trial. And instead of fixing the problem, we're just doing this, waiting for the problem to come to an end. And it doesn't. We just go through this cycle. Anybody been on the faith goes dry cycle? It's like the dryer cycle. You're just waiting for it to go, and then you take them out and then fluff and rinse and repeat, right? So reality here is found in 2 Peter. And I'm going to turn here while you guys turn there as well. And again, this is all going to be very much scriptures you know, scriptures you read before, nothing new really in the sense of verses. But what might be new to you is maybe something you didn't catch last time. That's my hope. So 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 through 11. And we're talking about adding to your faith, right? So why not? But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where most faith messages end. Nah. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why did I not stop? Because it could have been fine. Because like every other faith message you'll ever hear, oh, they just tell you, oh, well, just add these good things to your faith, right? Add. And everything's going to be fine. We've been through the process of this. We've had this message before, right? What do these things all mean? Addition of these other attributes are not laid out in a way that it's like a checklist, right? It's not one, then just check this one off and you can kind of do them in any order, right? They're in a process, right? One builds upon the other. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, right? You didn't add to your faith knowledge. You didn't add to your faith brotherly kindness. You didn't add to your faith love, right? One built upon the other, to the other, to the other, right? Okay? So what does that mean? I'll give it in terms that I like to use. That sounds like upgrades to me. Right? Your faith got upgraded. It upgraded from faith to virtue, right? Did you see it? Because it says add to your faith virtue, but then the next thing says add to virtue, right? Knowledge, right? So you just upgraded from faith to virtue. Now when you get knowledge, then you upgraded to knowledge, and then you're adding to, and you keep upgrading and upgrading, right? These all culminate in being filled and productive in what? What's the end goal, right? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay? So what is the purpose of all of that additional adding and upgrading to your faith? Are these just attributes that you can just go pick up at the food market? Go to the faith attribute store, hand them your phone, say, I'd like an upgrade, please. And then they go, but I want an iPhone. And you go, I'm sorry. I'm looking for the knowledge. I want the knowledge. No, I'm sorry. We only have iPhones here, but I want to upgrade, right? Can't go into a store and get it, right? So what is the purpose of all of this precursory stuff about our faith, gaining these different attributes, all towards the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Why did I read verse 9? Because this has been probably one of the biggest issues. And this is the proof of why this is not just another faith message. Why do we forget where we have been set free from? Why do we fall back into bad habits? Why do we go back to the old ways? Why do we do things that we know don't work or produce good fruit in our lives? Why do we continually go through Kadesh Barnea? Why do we continue to do things the wrong way? If we know this is what we should be doing process-wise. And scripture says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That's the whole reason you have faith. The purpose of faith is to keep you from going back into the old habits. Because are those habits pleasing to God? Were you pleasing to him before you came to Christ? No. But now that you've came to him, you now have become pleasing to him. It's your job to maintain that progression forward so that you continually become more pleasing to him and not fall into a place of, remember what I said? We've fallen into this place where we're not progressing. And I said, your faith has gone stale. What does that mean? It just means you've just become non-progressive. You're not advancing at all. Well, you just said, well, I'm going back. Well, that's an end result. If you're not going forward, you're not going. See, this is the biggest misconception. We tend to think it's, I take two steps forward, but then I have to go two steps back in order to go back into my junk, right? No, that's wrong. If you just stay still, you're still in it. You haven't moved forward yet. There hasn't been an advancement because the basic level of faith that you had when you came to Christ is the same basic level of faith you still have now. That might be hard to swallow, but think about what I'm saying, because there's a problem if we are still in verse 9 and that's where we're at. Read the whole passage. I'm not the one who's saying it. God is. Because he's telling you, if you're adding these things to your faith, upgrading your faith, right? You won't have that verse 9 problem. But if you have that verse 9 problem, what does it mean? It's a cause and effect statement in my world, right? Cause says, you did X, you get Y. If you didn't do X, then you got Z. Programming language. It's easy as pie. And not the number pie. That's not that easy. Not for me. I didn't learn that one. I only learned it to like the third or fourth digit. And I didn't care after that because I didn't need it. But here's the last part, verse 10. Just when you thought you were getting better, you go, oh man, okay, well what about verse 10? Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. How many people feel like they're stumbling? Go back to verse 9. If you're there, you're stumbling, right? But it tells you, Scripture tells you, what do you have to do? What did it say? Ten. Make your call and election sure. What does that mean? All of this has to come together to mean something, and it has to do something better than just this message of faith, which means, oh, you know, I need to have this belief in God that he's, you know, that I hope in the things that I can't see so that, you know, he can provide these things. It's, you know, I'm going to pull heaven to earth thing and, you know, and God's going to bless me and I'm going to have all these great, wonderful things so that I can go and do more things for God. Anybody believe that was the faith message, right? Just have to have faith and believe, right? Just faith of a mustard seed and say to that mountain, be moved and cast out into the sea. Oh, I'm going to go find a mountain and just tell it to move. That's all I need. It's just the faith of a mustard seed. I think I have that. Let's go move some mountains. How about you go try to walk on water first? How about that one? How well did that work out? Look down, glub, glub, glub. What happened to his faith? I'm sure his faith was a little bit more than a mustard seed, don't you think? Big difference between walking on water and mountain climbing, right? So where's this coming from? What's God trying to tell us? It's not just another faith message. Here we go. So we hear that we're supposed to make our call and election sure. We have all these attributes, right? So we're expected to grow our faith by adding those attributes, right? When you add something to something and it grows again, and it grows again, there's a word for this. It's not exponential. Mm-mm. See, we see it in the sense of numbers. God sees it in the sense of growth. Because you're growing, right? More into who? More into his image, right? So you're actually becoming more mature. Remember, we're sheep, right? There's not so much you do with a baby lamb. They're just cute and adorable, and you just pick them up, and you're just so cute and fluffy. But when they're adult sheep, they do stupid things like lay on their back. And they get stuck on their back. Thank you for that, by the way. You know how you get a sheep that's on its back unstuck? You pull its leg. I'm not joking. That's literally, that's serious. That's funny to me though, because you gotta pull their leg. I think that's hysterical. But when sheep grow older and get more mature, they now become more useful. And I don't mean that in a sense of downplaying us as sheep as, well, you're just left to be just, you know, herd sheep and, you know, shaved and provide wool and that's all you are. You're just, you know, part of the machine. No. But you are expected to grow up. You are expected to become more mature. And adding to your faith is the maturing process. Your faith is the proponent of what expands you in maturity. You could grow up and be 87 years old as a mature adult, but still be an infant in the eyes of the Lord. Right? Because you have not grown your faith. You have not ever grown your faith. But what does it mean to grow your faith? What happens? Your faith becomes directed into the things that God wants for us and not what we want for ourselves. When you stop thinking about what is best for you, what is going to make your life complete, what is going to make your life all right, how God and you can be a tandem dynamic duo and do all these great and wonderful things, right? And you want to be a part of everything that God's doing, you need to change your MO. You need to start thinking of, what do I need to do, Lord, in order to be who you want me to be? What do I need to do so that I can go and do the things you want me to do? We know we are maturing in this way because we no longer become easily beset by sin and forget what we have been set free from. Right? Verse 9 no longer becomes a problem when you're mature. You're not thinking about your old self or your old ways anymore. You're thinking about your higher and upward call in Christ. You're thinking about what God's got for me next. Think about all the biggest top tier names in Christian faith you could pull out. And think about the way they talked about how their interactions with God were. It's as though he was sitting right next to them on a bench, chatting with them like they were best friends. How many people would love to have that relationship with God? You don't get there being immature. You just don't. What else happens? We also become resolute in aligning our pursuits and goals with God. This is what it means by making your call and election sure. Now remember what I said, his pleasure is in his rewards. Remember that? Our maturity in our faith brings him joy because the rewards become greater along with the blessings and favor. So what does that mean? That means every single reward is beneficial to growing you more spiritually and more in faith. It's not about monetary numbers. It's not about goods, possessions. Like we said, things that are about here in the temporal. It's always about things that are bringing us closer and closer to him. Every reward he pours out does this. But what comes with that reward are blessings and his favor. Because we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. Growing your faith starts with letting go of yours and embracing his. And I know that seems like I'm telling you to give away your faith. That's not what I'm saying. It's the word. It's getting rid of yours out of your vocabulary and replacing it with his in your vocabulary. Does that make sense? Like, this is yours. You give it to somebody. No, this is his. This belongs to him. We do this all the time. You know, go through your house. Can you say these things belong to the Lord? If you can't, you probably should get rid of that thing, huh? It's a good way to know. All this is because of something that I believe has happened. And one of the things I believe has happened is that there's been a deception. Because we know the enemy loves to deceive us, right? And in some cases, he has actually done a good job. One of the major deceptions, I believe, is that our faith is fine as long as I believe in Jesus. My faith is good. I'm good. I just keep believing in Jesus. I'm fine. Are you fine? If you just believe in Jesus? Sure. Absolutely. Where will you find yourself? You'll have a seat. Yeah. But what will your rewards look like? They'll be non-existent. And his pleasure is in his reward, right? He's pleased with us when he gets to give us our rewards. We're robbing God the ability to be pleased in his creation when we don't grow our faith the way we need to and mature and go and do the things he's called us to do. And in a separate way, that also impacts how you're effective in your goals and your objectives here before you go home. Because after all, Does the world still need to hear about the wonderful things that God is doing and has done? Sure. And the more people hear about it, guess what? The more likely they're going to come and find out what this is all about. It's not an evangelism message, so don't get it mixed up. So imagine if that same body, the church, were to wake up, grow up, and start actually walking out their faith. What would the world look like? In conclusion, what you believe is faith is not wrong, but what you have done with it might be. And what do I mean? It's important that we grow. And what do we mean by grow your faith? Yeah, you could go through the Bible and go, oh, I'm going to add virtue, and then I'm going to add knowledge, and then I'm going to do all those things because that's what the Bible said. I'm going to give you the simpler version. Don't go crazy. But you need to find out what God's calling you to do, and you need to start growing up enough to start doing it. That's what it means. All that summarized. TLDR. Right? So if you're sleepy and you know it and you didn't get the whole message, here's the Cliff Notes version. Your faith is struggling. Reason why? Because you're not doing the things God's told you to do. Stop procrastinating. Stop dilly-dallying. Grow your faith. How do you grow your faith? Agree with God. This is what I need to do. And actually start doing it. Right? Because we can even follow that up with faith isn't about saying it. It's about what? It's about doing it, right? Show me your faith by your works. So you can't tell me about it. You actually need to also do it. So growing your faith is not about lip service. Growing your faith is about action. So if you need to grow your faith and you need to start maturing, find out what God's telling you you need to do and actually start doing it. And the best way I can tell you is it starts with agreeing with Him. That's what making your call and election sure is all about. The second I agreed with God that I was supposed to be the pastor, it got easier. But I had to grow up. Because you can't be an immature little brat and stand up here and preach a gospel message and tell a bunch of people how they're a bunch of immature brats when you're an immature brat, because that makes you a hypocrite. So you gotta grow up, right? So I'm imploring you to all do the same thing I did. If I can do it, guess what? So can you. Make your call and election sure. And here's the best part. Some of you already serve. Some of you already might be making your call and election sure, right? Is that all? Nope. You're always moving towards the upward call in Christ. There's always something more. So if you stopped and think you've arrived, guess what? Nope, you're not there yet because you're still here. So you got more to do. Amen. That's why adding to your faith is such an incremental thing. You got to keep building one upon the other. So keep building, keep growing. But it starts with a very simple thing. And I'm going to give you this is the bread and butter of the message. Stop asking God in a way that's like this. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Don't do that. Don't do that. First of all, stop patronizing him. Stop patronizing him. Most likely, if you're coming to that point and asking, you already know the answer. You just want a verbal communication that says that this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. That's not faith. Faith is agreeing with God that this is what you're supposed to do. And just walking out in faith. You have to believe that that's what He's told you to do. So it takes the faith to believe that this is what I'm supposed to do is also the same faith that you need to be able to go and actually do it. So you got to do it simultaneously. So you want to know how I like to apply this method? It's called the Band-Aid method. What's that mean? Just rip it off. Don't try to do this thing slow because it's just you're going to get halfway there. You're going to be like, nope. I'll wait for the hair to fall off. Just go. Just go. Just go head first into God. What's the worst that could happen? Right? Can I use you as an example real quick? I just want to come and learn the songs, says our worship leader, before she was our worship leader. Before she was even on the worship team. She just wanted to come and learn the songs. That's all. She's just like, I just want to learn the songs so I know what they are when we're singing them. Worship leader. So what I mean is that you have to just go after him. Amen? Because that was all you did. You just went after him. Just go after him. You're not going to fall if you're going after him. I know it's scary sometimes because you think you're gonna, but he's a good and mighty God. Amen? He won't let you stumble. He won't let you fall. He's got you the whole way, especially when you're growing and you're going the way you should. Amen? Amen. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, God, that you are preparing us. You are setting up the precedent for how you want us to be trained, how you want us to be moving and growing in you, God. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that today we would take this message that's just another faith message, God, but we would hold on to these moments and these things in what you are saying to us, God, and we would activate and move on them. We would not wait. We would not put it aside, God, but we would apply it immediately, God, so that we can see the wonderful and awesome power in your word moving in us and through us, God. Father, I pray that your word would always do what it always sets out to do. And knowing that it doesn't return void, God, I pray to see the wonderful fruit that is produced through this today, God. I pray that it would just continue to grow and multiply in our lives as we grow and mature in our faith in you, God, and all God's people said. Amen. Amen.